Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dudes!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
I thought you were going to say he got into the charcoal, and that's why.
Yeah.
He was wearing an apron. It said, it just had a picture of a bone and then the chef, like a dog bone.
Instead of kiss the cook,
bone
says,
the chef.
Bone the chef. Is that real? Is that a real thing?
No, but I did see there's a bumper sticker that's got a heart. It's like a heart shape, and then it says, usually there's like, I heart shape my dog, but someone put I and then a dog bone, and then my dog.
I bone my dog.
It was just like, you what?
Was it supposed to be like saucy, or was it just instead of a heart they had a bone, they thought it was quirky?
I think it was supposed to just be like, oh, let's just replace it with a bone because it's a dog.
And it's perfect.
It was not supposed to be.
Lack of self-awareness is far funnier than when, like, you intend for something to be funny.
Oh, for sure. I don't know who signed off on that, because that's like, oh my god. No one wants to advertise that if they do
it. I bone my dog. There are spots on the dark web that specialize in conversations like that. I was gonna say he was wearing an apron that's instead of kiss the cook, it says diss the cook. And so you're like walking by, you're like, you stupid asshole, why don't you go lick your own asshole? It's like, is that a diss?
He gets offended at first, and then he looks down, he's like, oh, I'm wearing the apron.
Okay.
I get it.
So it's like being at a roast. I can't really be mad that you're being mean to me.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say on that note, with Spocket talking about the dark web, talking about oddities, talking about burning people and things burning, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And as you saw by the title of, oh yeah, we're getting into it here, Jake, so.
You figured as much.
Okay. he's a podcast vet.
Yeah. This is your 10th podcast guest appearance, I just realized.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Holy cow. I was sitting here wondering when I was going to hit the 5-timers club. I didn't realize I've been in for 10.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Between Sucktastic and the Radcast, yeah, 10 appearances.
Jake, you've been on 10 times.
Wow.
Because I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, because when we see you again, we will gift you with a trophy commemorating the occasion.
Yes.
And
whoa.
But it'll be it's just a little plastic microphone one. But there's
he's a trophy, man. I'm honored.
Amazon provides a custom quote unquote engraving on these trophies. So yeah. So
bushiest beaver.
Yeah, bushiest.
This says bushiest beaver.
They're supposed to say busy, damn it. But yeah, this is your 10th time on
wow.
here. You were on Sucktastic twice. You were on here 8 times. Now, of course, you're not a stranger to podcasting. Anybody who's been with Matt and I this whole time know that we started with the Proper Gentleman podcast, which you were a co-producer and a co-host on for a number of years. So
the best years of your life.
Exactly. That's all downhill from here.
Yes, your dog's got diarrhea and like vomiting, and your wife is all sick and stuff. And man,
I know. I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's all permanent. I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all permanent.
You wake up every morning. And you're like, oh, I wish I could tell fart jokes on a microphone. Those were the days.
I wish I could get the green light.
God. That is a way, way inside joke.
We got the green light. We got the green light.
God. Yes. This year's going to be 5 years of podcasting. So
yeah.
That reminds me of like our first few episodes. We unintentionally were we weren't trying to make that a thing. We were just like, we got the green light because we were new to podcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus,
we all tried to have this NPR voice. It's like, yes, yes, and Toys R Us, yes, it exploded, yes. Speak up!
Yeah. Now we're just two wild and crazy guys, along with another wild and crazy guy. So, yes, Jake Vielewald is back on the show with us, and we are talking about another oddity of a documentary.
Yes.
About a month ago, we talked about a documentary called Confessions of a Superhero,
yes,
which Matt and I have watched several times over the last, you know, almost 10 years, I'd say, ever since we found it on old Netflix. And we talked about it. We raved about it. We ranted about some people in there. But all in all, we talked about how much we liked it and how, if you're interested, you should go check it out. Because it was endearing for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a couple days later, or maybe it was a day later, once the show dropped, Jake texted and he's like, "Have you guys done Whoop Dreams yet?" And we're like... No,
I haven't. I'd say I haven't thought about it since the three of us watched it the first time, but I've thought about it on occasion. Yeah. But we didn't even consider it in like our list of obscure kind of niche weird documentaries that we've watched.
Yeah.
Whoop Dreams wasn't on the schedule or like on the docket for like things to do in the future.
Yeah. But we knew that Jake sending it and then considering the subject matter of the documentary, we were like, I think that would make a fun episode with Jake. So we were like, would you like to be on it? And he sent the gif of Jack Nicholson from The Departed maniacally just smiling and nodding his head. So that got us here. So Jake,
here we are.
Yes. Hello, Jake. Thank you for joining us. If we didn't already say
it. Of course. As always, thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. You're one of our favorite guests, but also one of our favorite guys. So
I am so honored.
What a guy.
You are two of my favorite guys too.
Thank you, sweet boy. But just real quick, Whoop Dreams is like a 45-minute documentary.
Yeah, it's not very long.
It was released on September 6th, 2014, directed by Mike Eisenberg, and it stars, I guess stars, Ben Kaplan, Matt
Isn't
Lee.
Michael Eisenberg the Disney guy?
Oh, this guy's name is Mike
Mike
Eisenberg. Michael Eisner.
Oh,
Michael
Eisner's
the Disney
guy. All we could find it was on Vimeo. It was like, it should be on Disney Plus.
If it's the same guy. Mike Eisenberg directing and starring, quote unquote, Ben Kaplan, Matt Lieb, Laramie Legal, and Vince Mancini of the FilmDrunk.com podcast, also known as the Frotcast, which I'd never heard of them.
Yeah. I don't even remember how we found this documentary.
Do you remember, Jake?
I don't either. You guys just told me, hey, we got this documentary you need to check out. It's about the Juggalos.
Sounds like something we would say, actually.
Yeah,
we have a bad habit of dragging people into weird things against their will. So I think I found it on like Netflix or something,
or like Amazon Prime.
Like Prime has some obscure documentaries. I probably saw it on there,
mm-hmm.
and the clever play on words or wordplay of Whoop Dreams, and then the subject matter. I was like, oh yes. We need to bring in a third party to watch this with us.
Yes. This was around a time when Jake still lived. It's 2017, so when Jake still lived in St. Louis, Matt and I were hanging out very often. So there was one of those hangouts where Matt was like, I found this documentary on Amazon called Whoop Dreams about not just Juggalos, but the gathering of
the
Juggalos.
Yes, the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yes, that's a fair point.
Yes, which for the uninitiated, I guess, or uneducated.
Uncultured.
The uncultured swines of the internet.
Yes, the uncultured. We will get into, just real quick here in just a second, what in the world are Juggalos? What in the world is the gathering? And why does this thing exist? But essentially the story is it's these four guys who do this podcast, and they say kind of in the opening of it that they've been doing, you know, they've been talking about Juggalos for years and they're fascinated by them. They're fascinated by people who are just these hardcore fans of Insane Clown Posse.
Internet Clown Posse.
Yeah. and thing, you know, the something like the gathering of the Juggalos. They're so fascinated that they're finally all like, they had a crowdfunded campaign to go to a gathering of the Juggalos at Cave In Rocks, Illinois. So it, you know, Illinois is a big state, so I'm not going to say it's not far from here, but it's
I mean technically true, but like you said, you could be driving for hours through Illinois and still be in Illinois.
Not far from Jake either, I guess, in Iowa. You got some Juggalos in Iowa.
It's very, very close to us. I think Chicago is like a 4-hour drive.
Four-minute drive.
That's very close.
But it follows these four podcast hosts who have been fascinated with Juggalos for years. And over the course of the 45 minutes, they're interviewing people like Juggalos and Juggalettes. Yeah. And they're showing things that go on at the gathering. And essentially, it's just their experience.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
And given the personalities of the guys and the way they're talking to each other in the camper when they're driving down there, it gives off a slight impression that they go in with the intent to mock these people, but they make clear that they're like, you know, we're not going to do the touristy things or whatever that they put it when we're there. We want to get like enmeshed with the people that are there, and we want to just like find out who these people are, why they go here, you know what it means to them, kind of thing. Like, we want to be one of them. So they immerse themselves in the entire experience.
Yeah.
And what an experience it is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'll just say I would never go to one. No. But essentially, Juggalos and Juggalettes at this gathering, they worship this group called the Insane Clown Posse. Now, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar, the Insane Clown Posse, essentially
horrorcore.
Yeah. Their genre of rap, of rap, rock, rap, hip hop. All, you know, the fusion of all these things they use, it's called horrorcore. And essentially it's a lot of the subjects revolve around violence. A lot of the subjects revolve around cartoonish violence.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Much
and, like a horror movie.
Yeah. Cartoonish violence, subjects that include like sex.
There you go.
Fago, sticky soft drinks. They do rap. Fago is not just an accessory to being a Juggalo. They rap about Fago.
Yeah, it's a song called Juggalo Juice, and it's very catchy.
Well, they also reference Fago in their song Hocus Pocus.
Okay, well, yes, that too. But essentially, they sing about things that middle schoolers would think were cool.
Being on the fringes of society, but like being family with other people who are on fringes of society, but kind of being combative about it,
being very territorial.
Yes. They're not a gang, but like the FBI classifies Juggalos as a gang, but they're like, we're not a gang, we're family. We're not a gang, we're not a gang. But like the things they talk about in this documentary, it's like,
Also, gang toeing the line there.
Gangs, you know, give off the impression that they're each other's families too.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the Italian mob is? They call each other. Oh yeah, you're part of the family. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
you're a gang.
Exactly.
Go to a gathering of the meatballs later.
Plus, the subject of the gathering of the meatballs. Is what you just said.
Go to the gathering of the meatballs.
but
the meatballs is the horrorcore rap group.
But in the mob.
In the main stage, the person coming to the main stage is just Tony Bennett.
Yeah, it's who
like spray. They're spraying Fago on
him. They're spraying white wine on him.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm getting sticky. You're wonderful. You're beautiful.
But the Juggalos and Juggalettes, yes, are the ones who are territorial and very, very combative. The thing is, though, the group themselves, Insane Clown Posse, yes, they are treated as the joke of the music industry. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I listened to some of Insane Clown Posse's music before this. Because I really just was like meh about them, and it very much I felt like, you know, you're leading a healthy life, and then you go on a binge of Taco Bell for a day. That's what it felt like.
That's a good way to put it.
So you're saying they're a guilty pleasure?
Well, I don't believe in feeling guilty about the things that
they're
pleasure
delicious.
You.
But,
delicious.
But yes,
beefy five layer Juggalo.
I'm a beefy five layer Juggalo.
There were a ton of those at the gathering.
Uh,
But this would be, if I would, you know, prescribe to the idea of a guilty pleasure, then yes, because I would feel guilty telling people I listen to ICP. However, I talk all this shit on them. They're actually like marketing geniuses. They have all these like, you know, different media outlets. They have their own record label. They have wrestling company, which is still around today, considering a lot of wrestling companies can't survive.
They get some big names in there. Yeah. Well, big names from the past.
Yeah.
Who are in bad shape.
Yeah. And I know I use the term geniuses lightly, but they're marketing whizzes, and they put in a lot of hard work to like grow their brand and to become this deity to a large group of people.
Oh, praise the Hatchet Man.
but the thing is,
holy Hatchet Man. Holy.
There are things they see like Juggalos and Juggalettes doing, and they're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Like that they even find strange. So it just shows that Juggalos and Juggalettes have become an entity in and of themselves.
Yeah.
To where much like religious groups, to where like Jesus would frown at a lot of the stuff Christians are doing.
just for making the comparison.
For making the comparison. Because
this wasn't the message.
What are you doing? Because
like, keep your nipple rings in. Don't have this stripper rip it out with her teeth.
When we were earlier this week, when we were talking about where to find Whoop Dreams to watch, you were like, the only thing I remember is this guy had a stripper rip his nipple rings out with her teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're family, because she loves him and he loves all of them. That guy perplexes me to this day. I got a lot of words on him, I'll be honest.
Oh, good. That's great. Come to take, because
yes.
When that part happened, when I was watching it, I was like, this is it. This is the part. This is what Jake was talking about. Because I didn't remember that. So I loved
it. Well, I did. It was burned into my brain. this guy, he's like talking like he's just super prophetic and this and that. And he's just hopped up on drugs. He's going to wait. Like, when did the drugs wear off? And you look down and you're like, wait a minute. Where are my nipples? Like, what happened?
What the hell?
That's going to happen. That happened in that guy's life.
I can't nurse my baby anymore.
Yeah. Well, and he's talking like his music or something. You know, he's saying whatever.
We never get to see this. He said, that's what I do. I do it for the family. My music, my dancing, my drumming, all of it, all for the family. They didn't show any of that.
No.
He's just some dude who got his nipples ripped off.
But the thing is,
I told her to rip them. I told her how hard to rip them.
And don't stop.
She ripped it off as fast as I wanted her to. Why? Because she fucking loves me.
That's what he said.
But the thing is, like, he had several talking heads over the course of the documentary before the nipple fiasco,
Nipplegate,
as it's come to be known.
It's not Janet Jackson anymore. It's that guy from the Gathering of Juggalos.
As fast as I, because she fucking loves me.
But the thing is, he's talking all the, and he's not saying anything different than other people they'd been talking to at the gathering. How they're like, yeah, we're family. I can't even rely on my family, but like I could call up this guy and he'll be here like as quick as a flash to like help me out. And he's saying all this stuff, like all this emotional stuff, like, you know, I love these people. I'd do anything for him. I do all I can for the family. You know, I use all my gifts for the all holy ICP. Much like you're supposed to use your gifts for Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
But I use all this stuff, and I had this stripper rip my nipples out because I love the family. And that's where I was like, oh yeah, listen, I already felt like this guy was intoxicated. Now I know he's intoxicated. Yeah,
I don't need him.
But it's just so funny though how like the Insane Clown Posse,
they obviously would love their fans.
Sure.
And they actually seem like pretty nice guys.
Yeah.
You know, a little rough around the edges still, but they seem like they're pretty nice guys. Like, actually, like, without the face paint on, they're, like, family men and, like, love their actual family. Not, I'm sure they still love their Juggalo family. And, like, it's Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J are the two. And I was watching Shaggy 2 Dope on Your Mom's House, the Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky podcast. And he was like, we didn't even come up with Juggalo. We don't know where that came from. Even though they have a couple songs that talk about it, like from like Hocus Pocus, which was from like 1997.
Yeah.
Or no, something Malenko, the Great Malenko.
The Great Malenko.
From like 1997, where it talks about what is a Juggalo. And I can read those lyrics if you'd like.
Magnets, how do they work?
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. I would love those. Because I've never listened to an Insane Clown Posse song. Never voluntarily.
You're not really, yeah, you're not really missing anything.
You haven't listened to Homies, they're talking about love.
Oh, wait, that does sound familiar.
It was in Workaholics.
Yes. Yeah, there's that Workaholics episode.
That's right. Okay. When they went to the gathering of the Juggalos.
Yes. So here are just a few lines from the great American masterpiece, What is a Juggalo? So I forgot the melody. I listened to it yesterday, so I'll just read it like a poem. What is a Juggalo? Let me think for a second. Oh, he gets butt naked, and then he walks through the streets, winking at the freaks with a 2-liter stuck in his butt cheeks.
Sounds like something I want to aspire to be.
This is
not a gang.
What is a Juggalo? He just don't care. He might try to be put a weave in his nut hair. Because he could give a fuck less what a bitch thinks. He tell her that her butt stinks and all that. What is a Juggalo? He drinks like a fish, and then he starts hugging people like a drunk bitch. Next thing, he's picking fights with his best friends. Then he starts with the hugging again. Fuck. So that's also what they try. This is the Juggalo creed.
I think the inspiration is Shel Silverstein. I can definitely hear it in there. Yes.
You have to say it's like the Green Lantern. In order to become a Green Lantern in Brightest Day and Blackest Night, in order to become a Juggalo, this is the Juggalo creed.
Winking at the freaks with a 2-liter in my butt cheeks, and then you become a Juggalo.
The face paint starts forming. As soon as you get to the butt cheeks line, that's when the face paint starts.
Finish it.
Don't give in. You have to finish it.
You have to finish.
Here, hold on. Wait, I found the other stanza you have to finish. What is a Juggalo? What is a Juggalo? A fucking lunatic. Somebody with a rope tied to his dick. Then he jumps out a 2-story window. Oh.
And then you become a Juggalo. And then you become a Juggalo.
That's the completion point. You are now a Juggalo.
Throw the hatchet, I can catch it.
Jesus, this song is, there's so many
you
lines.
You wrote down the whole thing?
This is from Google.
Oh,
so
right.
Like, what is a Juggalo? A Hulkamaniac. He power bombs.
It'd be hilarious. You wrote it all down, even though it's on your.
I wrote it down all in cursive.
Yeah, exactly. Calligraphy.
A calligraphy on papyrus.
Yeah, with a feather pen.
There's so many. I mean, there's so much
it's
crap
just random
here.
Shit.
What is a Juggalo? He's a graduate. He graduated from, well, at least he's got a job. He's not a dump putz. He works for himself, scratching his nuts. And this will be the last one I read, because if you all are interested in listening to What is a Juggalo, you can find it on Spotify.
And it leaves you asking still at the end of the song, what is a Juggalo?
Well, it asks you, what did I listen to?
Yeah.
So
a dumbass.
Yeah. I'm the Juggalugga Lockeroni is one of the lines here.
Juggalugga Lockeroni. Just making shit up.
I'll read the final line because it mentions Hulkamaniac and just in time with some of the stuff that we've talked about in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
What is a Juggalo? A Hulkamaniac. He powerbombs motherfuckers into thumbtacks. People like him till they find he's unstable. He Sabu'd your mama through a coffee table. So Sabu is a famous hardcore wrestler who has wrestled at many gatherings of the Juggalo.
Hulk Hogan has not yet made out to one, though.
No, that's okay.
I didn't get that sentence.
Some of his other brethren from that era of wrestling are Juggalos, though.
Brethren.
Yes, exactly.
So all that considered, to me, Juggalos and Juggalettes are just perpetual middle schoolers, incessantly swearing, thinks it's funny being overly crude and vulgar and talking about random things like sticking fingers up police officers' butts or gluing someone's penis to their thigh, poo-poo underwear and farting on mom and dad, stuff like that.
So you I understand why this is appealing to middle schoolers. I think a lot of middle schoolers went through an ICP phase.
Yeah, and then they kind of and then they find ICP high school, middle school, and then
they grow up. They,
well, the thing is, they get the idea of family, and they come from kind of lower socioeconomic backgrounds.
Yeah.
And it's like white people would be considered quote unquote white trash, quote unquote trailer trash.
Yeah.
I'm not going to consider them that. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's just people who want to find belonging because they're on the fringes of society,
sure,
essentially.
And that's really relatable.
Yeah,
like,
for
at,
sure.
At the root of that, when you can find people that will take you in and accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people at the gathering said, like, I don't do drugs, or I did drugs. And, like, these people are my family. Like, I've, you know, I've been in dark places, and these juggalos have pulled me out of it, which is a weird sentence, but like, but at the, like, the presentation,
yeah,
isn't necessarily digestible for most people.
Yeah.
At the root of it, the purpose to surround each other like family, non-judgmentally, mm-hmm, like to take each other in and love each other. I mean, there's merit to that. And I think,
yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to diss anybody for finding their home.
Sure.
Like, that's great if you found your home. However, if part of your home is called the drug bridge, please don't invite me to your house, because I don't really want to go.
Yeah, if you guys spend summers,
if part of your house gets shut down because someone ODs on it.
Yeah, if you guys spend your summer swimming in Hepatitis Lake,
yeah,
I think you should.
Basically, what I'm saying is, you can have family at a Chili's. Why don't you do that?
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, and we'll talk more about the guys that do the documentary.
Yeah.
But like, as they're driving up. And they're pretty funny guys.
Yeah, you
like
know.
They're likable, and they have an intention to not lampoon these people. Like they're like I said, they're enmeshing themselves into the community. They're curious. Yeah, they're game to do stuff. They talk about, like, they're reading the itinerary for the gathering and stuff, and they're talking about how, like, at the gathering, you know, they're all, you know, there's a lot of drinking, there's a lot of, like, music, craziness, a lot of people getting laid, a lot of sex. And, like, towards the end of the documentary, like, it didn't strike me until the end. I'm like, wait, don't these people consider themselves family? What's wrong? I have sex with my family.
Some of you might.
Maybe. There were a few that looked kind of inbred.
But the thing is, like, everybody they talk to, and then I want to go backwards here for a second, because you mentioned the themes of family and belonging.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of people who connect with it because it's not, you know, presented to them in a way that's corny. Like, sure, it's like it's sophomoric, it's juvenile, like it's talking about, you know, soda, Faygo, you know, juggalos drink, also like middle schoolers who drink copious amounts of soda and energy drinks.
Smoke Newports, yeah, like middle schoolers.
Yeah. Always looking for naked boobies and always talking about sex. Being overly rebellious means doing drugs and smoking cigarettes. Seems to not bathe often. And saying shocking things for attention is cool. Like,
wow, this is a middle schooler to a T.
But the thing is, they connect with that because I think ICP meant for that. Like, they know, like, listen, we're two hard MFers from Detroit. Like, we know that us singing about love and closeness with the language a lot of musicians do isn't going to go over with people, because that's not who we are. So what they sing about, even though it's silly as hell, they, like, it reaches people, and it's helped people. And you
shove a soda up my butt because I love my family.
Stick a soda.
Oh, this resonates with me.
Shake it up and shove it up my butt from my family.
Ah, yes.
Throw flour at a bus of my family.
This speaks to me.
Throw full 2-liter bottles of Faygo at people because they're my family.
I'm gonna Faygo bomb these MFers.
Yeah, that's and, bomb. Like they did. There was a moment where there are certain, there are like the same talking heads. They like they interview with people, like these groups of people who from seem like from all walks of life, yeah, and all areas
all
of
over
the globe,
the country,
and also
too.
They say they're not a gang, but there are flags at certain camping areas that say like chapter blah 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 blah, and I was like, gangs have chapters,
yeah, and you can't say, well, Juggalos, because they're ICP and Juggalos will do like community service,
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Hell's Angels.
Hello, Hell's Angels, ring, yeah, a bell. They
pretty sure they've
service.
Run toy drives, maybe. I don't know.
Run over toy drives.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know. Like, it's tough to say we're not a gang. And then, like, you look at the contents of ICP's music, and it's like, though it's cartoonish violence, it's very violent. And it does talk about like hurting people.
That's
that,
the thing
that
too.
Aren't down with the clown.
Because I know Shaggy Too Dope has said that like when writing their songs, he's wanted to like both of them have wanted to try to promote their fans to like, hey, like live like a quote unquote righteous lifestyle, be a good, yeah, person. And they're not going from anything like biblical or spiritual, because if they were, I would think they'd be more like Sodom and Gomorrah than the Garden, yeah, of Eden. But they're like, you know, we want them to live good lives as good people. But I think sometimes that message gets lost in translation, because sometimes people read your lyrics literally.
Oh,
And although ICP speak out against injustice in a way,
sure,
their solution is to kill those who are enacting injustice,
yes,
which people have their own opinions. They're not going to talk about, you know, anything political on here as far as that goes, but I don't believe like people should die, essentially. Just, I mean, yes, they
just
hurt,
you
they
don't
hurt
agree
people
with them,
but
yeah,
what kind of justice is that if they die too?
Yeah,
like I don't know, it, you know, I may cut that out, but I'm just saying it's one of those things where like it doesn't seem like it's, you know, that doesn't seem like a very righteous life you'd want your fans to live, just going about promoting, yeah, oh well, they hurt people, so I killed them. It's like, that's still not right though.
Yeah.
But anyway, off of like that, when at the gathering, these guys interview kind of this some of the similar groups of people, and they all talk about, you know, it's great they're coming here, you know, they see everybody here. They, and several times the guys from the documentary are like, you know, it's like, just not to sound corny, but it's like a big family reunion, because all,
yeah,
these people know each other, and it's like, and they consider each other family.
Oh, yeah,
blah,
sex
blah,
with each other.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like family.
Have
their orgies.
There
you
was,
know?
They had one guy, he's like, this is my first time here. I just met these motherfuckers yesterday, and they just took me in, and these are funny motherfuckers. And he's like, yeah, man, you're gonna spend the whole weekend with us, man. You're one of us, man.
And I was like, I mean, listen,
they have an initiation, not like a gang.
Not
no,
really. I don't know if they do.
But it's
like a gang.
it's just funny, but it's just they all have this, they all feel like they're genuine in how they feel.
Sure.
And like it is all about like togetherness, and like they were talking to women. Several women were topless than when they were talking to them. They're like, I feel safer here than I do anywhere else, because like no one's gonna like fuck with me. Like if someone like wants to come up and grab my chest, I'm like, hey, don't do it. And they're like, oh, my bad. And or they're like, hey, can I touch your boobs?
That
and
scene, it perplexed me.
Yeah.
Because like she was, yeah, she's like, I feel safe, and it's just, like people want to come up and be like, hey, let me touch your chest, and if I say no, they'll back off. They might fuck with you a little bit, but that's, you know, that's just family, you know, that's just because that's part of family. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And then like in the same breath, these dudes drive up in a golf cart,
bounce,
and they're like,
tits,
yo, show us, like,
yeah.
And she's just like, here you go. It's like, okay, what's going on here?
Like,
I don't know what's
my
going
boy
on
here wanted to see your tits, bounce them for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, dude, do you not understand how demeaning that is? But if you feel safe, I don't know.
These people don't have boundaries.
Decide,
well, and they're using family a lot. Like, obviously, they're using family a lot, but
a little too loosely.
They're applying it like you just said, Jake. It's like, but they're like, oh, my bad, and they'll back off because we're family. It's like, do you have your family wanting to see your chest?
No.
maybe don't use because we're – maybe because – we're all in this together.
We're close.
And we're close, and we're respectful of one another.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, society will look at us and see us as degenerates, and look at our reputations collectively. But like when we're together, we're respectful of one another.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say, you know, I tell him not to touch my tits, and he's like, okay, that's fine, we're family, that's cool, I won't touch your titties. You know,
yeah,
like,
but the thing that bothered me is like he's still like, she's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, he gave me shit, but blah, blah, blah. It's like, that means he like doesn't know, none of these people know like the boundaries you think they do. Like you don't think anybody here, the thousands of people, aren't gonna come up and just do it without even asking.
Absolutely.
And then part of having boundaries and someone respecting your boundaries is not pitching a fit if you say no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not all. I mean, maybe the family you're a part of is an intrusive family, because intrusive families want to know your business and like get upset when you say no, I don't want you to like you. It's none of your business. I don't want you around for this aspect of my life, or blah blah blah. So sure, it's like family, and
shove this soda up your butt.
it's a dysfunctional family, which is not really conducive for growth as a person. But I think these people feel like they've grown
Quit
enough.
Harshing my Juggalo Mellow, dude.
Yeah, which Mellow isn't a flavor of Faygo.
No,
which, if you
there
like,
there was one guy that's like, I want to try all the flavors of Faygo.
And he's like, if you find candy apple Faygo, you grab
that's
all
rare.
That shit. That's rare.
As many as you can.
as many as you can.
I will say, the organizers of this, the Faygo's free. And they have like food trucks, and the food looks like amazing.
Yeah, that fried chicken on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
That looks amazing. Yeah. And then to quote one of the other girls, man, that stromboli's fucking good. I had that stromboli. It's fucking good. Oh, yeah, that stromboli's fucking good.
Say, a lot of the people there have that type of accent.
Mafia, stromboli, you're not a gang.
I'm seeing the connections. Just saying.
Just saying.
I just love how, going back to the organized crime for a second, one of my favorite quotes was that one dude who was just like super sincere, like, oh, we don't do drugs. When he's talking, he's like, we're not organized crime. We're not doing organized crime. Everybody here, they just do crime by themselves. They just do little crimes. It's like,
hey, idiot.
Oh, crime, dude.
Okay, yeah, you're literally not organized crime.
he was literally, his point was, yeah, we're all doing crime. Like, they're all doing crime, but nobody like says, hey, we're gonna do crime at this time.
Like, what do you mean white collar? I ain't wearing a shirt.
Yes, we're all degenerate separately, but not organized in such a way that we go be degenerates to other people.
Yeah. The only thing we do as a gang is a gang bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Behind trees at the gathering.
Because we're family.
Because we're family. Shit. What was I going to say? I don't know. I forgot.
The organizers.
The food.
It seemed
organizers.
Pretty organized, honestly.
Oh, I was. Yeah, it did. I mean,
we only saw the documentary is only 45 minutes. Yeah. We only saw back to like the women feeling safe and stuff because one of the guys doing the documentary, they'll cut back to shots of them in their camper, kind of recapping the night.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was like, he's like, I don't know, maybe it's just like the San Francisco in me, because these guys are from California, but like, I don't know, I felt kind of corny asking, but I asked her, I was like, do you feel safe here? Because like, you have all these dudes, and there are people on drugs. There's one person that ODs, and they don't like sit on it for too long, but you see an ambulance go out, and there's a little caption that says like the person that they found out that they died when they got to the hospital. So there's bad shit going on. So I had the same question, like, do you feel safe? Like, I mean, yeah, you're walking around with your boobies hanging out, so I guess maybe that's a sign. But like, he's like, yeah, she told me that's back to the, she feels safer here. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's so crazy that you have all these people that are like, almost that are seen as outcast, that in their hometowns they're probably seen as the bad kids, the bad people,
yeah,
but they all come together and they're respectful of one another. But I also had to remind myself that we saw a very small sample size of everything.
I think I started saying something in regards to like we see a small sample size, but there's literally thousands of people here. So she could be walking in one area, maybe over by the drug bridge, and she's eating her chicken on a stick and everyone's cool, but then she walks a little further into like, you know, like the Cursed Earth, like from the Judge Dredd comics.
Yeah.
Which to me, like the gathering of the Juggalos is very reminiscent of like the Cursed Earth. But you venture further out, and you know, you could have people like who are violent, who again, the meaning of all these songs that people get is like, it's the same with all music. It's left to your own interpretation sometimes. So again, some people aren't going to get the family aspect out of, you know, a certain song. They're going to see literally, having sex with women and like abusing people.
They don't understand the idea of being tongue-in-cheek about things.
So much like at somewhere like a music festival, you get people from all walks of life who connect with, you know, the deeper meaning of people's music, and then they connect in a more carnal way to the music, or in a more like animal, primal way to the music, to where they're dangerous.
Yeah.
So it's like with any gang. I mean, sorry, group. I'm sorry, family. You have people who are there to take care of one another, and you have people who are there to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
It's so wild to see it, because it's such, for just in middle America, for over the course of a few days, there's this gathering of people from the fringes of society, and they all feel belong. They're all in caked in their clown makeup. Not all of them. They're all like dressed like it's hot and sticky outside, because it probably is.
They all need a bath.
Yeah, exactly.
I could smell that documentary. It was rough. Oh, yeah. It looked really bad.
It's just, and the whole time too, I'm like there are people with campers, so I guess campers have some sort of hookup for showers and stuff, or like I'm sure you have a bathroom on the camper. But like
Herpes Lake, you can jump into Herpes Lake.
Hepatitis Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone at the gathering did say, what did he say? He said, I had
the gout and I jumped in Hepatitis Lake and I was cured.
It was something.
Not really.
It was like I had something, but it was eaten by the crabs or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Some dude walking
it
by.
It got eaten by the crabs, and then I got like, I don't know,
then
herpes
the roaches
and parvo,
ate the crabs
and which is a dog disease.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was on something.
Yeah, of course.
There were several times to where just the logistics of being at the gathering, like for myself, was giving me anxiety.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they have porta potties, but those things, I can't imagine how disgusting those things are. And like other people are probably voting to maybe piss and shit on themselves, piss and shit like in the woods, on each other, maybe.
In the lake.
Anywhere. And then like I didn't see a whole lot of water. There was a whole lot of Faygo drinking,
energy drinks.
I didn't see a whole lot of water.
Hydrating things.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, we're seeing like spots to where it's like, oh, because it's a documentary, they're showing us, oh, that looks interesting, that looks fascinating. This, but like the time in between, you know, a three hour stretch.
What am I gonna do with myself
in the Midwest during the summer? It's already hot and sticky.
I mean, for God's sake,
you have all these smelly people around.
We've been to a couple music festivals. Jake, you went to Point Fest with us like 10 years ago, 2012. Like in between the bands you're interested in, you're just standing there in the hot, you know, Missouri sun or hot Midwest sun.
Just dying
until you can get. Yeah. Under, you know, like the main stages, you can get under an overhang and the fans are blowing on you and stuff. But other than that, like, you don't want to be there all day. And these people are there for like 3 or 4 days. So it's.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. I mean, that's when you just break out your pack of Newports, though. Sit around, smoke, talk about your kids back home, all that fun stuff.
Exactly.
There were some. I saw some kids there.
Yeah. And then.
Oh, really? I didn't see
any kids. I saw a couple kids in there. And I'm like, this is a child. And like the one, well, I say the one lady who was the mom that they interviewed. They probably interviewed several moms.
Yeah.
There was one the tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Who I'm pretty sure she said she's from Canada.
Yeah.
And like the girl, the lady with like the multicolored hair.
But she was like, there's a couple sections where they're just talking to these women, just braiding another woman's
hair. Two of them are moms.
Yeah.
One of them was like, I fucking love my daughter became a juggalette, you know, stuff like that. And she's like, I didn't bring my kids this year because like, I didn't want to be keeping track of them while I should be. This should be like relaxing and having fun, which I mean, that is responsible parenting. It's like, but I don't want
to an extent, but her reasoning was a little flawed. She said, I get to see my family once a year, so I'm going to leave my kids at home. Your definition of family is a little off.
There's a lot of things in here that blur the lines, and all you can really, if you try and take things positive away, they're just tiny little morsels.
Well, one of the women was like, well, no, my kids are never coming to the gathering. Like, are you kidding me? I'm never bringing them here. And I was like, then...
Yeah, this stuff's messed up. Why would I bring my children? It's like, well, why would you bring yourself? Okay, that's fine.
Why would you bring yourself?
And then there's also, like, there's this... I thought it was funny. There's this tree that they all put, like, valuables at. And they're like,
I love this part of the documentary. Like,
tell us about this part.
Yeah,
then.
What's this tree, Jake?
Okay, the best. So it's the tree, and basically
the tree of life.
You just nail a bunch of shit to it, is what I understand. And like, essentially, how it's explained is, if you want something, ask the tree, and it will provide. It's like the giving tree of the Juggalos.
Back to Shel Silverstein. Yeah.
But I just love I loved that they were clearly interviewing this woman, and she was talking about the tree, and this other guy in the back, don't know what relation, but like this other guy in the background is trying to get his 15 minutes. Yeah. Family, of course.
Family members.
He's trying to get his 15 minutes of fame. So she's talking. And then like in the background, she's like, we love this tree. It's been here forever. This is the Juggalo tree. This is part of our family. And then very faint in the background, you just, it's part of our fucking family.
You can put fucking anything on this tree. You can be fucking anything. Everyone trusts each other. We put money on this fucking tree.
So like someone saved $100 in there, no one will take it. I'm like, what happens when the people who own this land are cleaning up your little cesspool you're creating here? They're gonna throw all the stuff off that tree away.
Yeah. And at one point, he does, the same guy says, I believe he says, hey, get with the tree or the tree's going to get you. Think about that. And I was just like, whoa,
that.
Socrates over here.
The tree's going to get you.
Ooh, I'm also I'm a music artist. I'm also a rapper.
And a slam poet.
Get with the tree or the tree. I expected them to pan up to see an elder Juggalo in the tree. It's like consult the tree. You gotta consult the tree. And they look, it's like, oh, the tree.
The elder Juggalo is called the Great Malenko. And like he resides over by the tree. And,
exactly.
And he's like, don't put that on the tree.
Yeah. He sticks 2 liter up in between his butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And then when he takes them out and sticks it up to see the direction of the wind, it's like, you need to make your way over there.
It's dripping.
It's dripping. It's dripping. Oh, that's a good sign. You're going to have a good week.
That guy was also this dude is also very impressed with his invention. He hung an umbrella from the tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, check this shit out. You can sit underneath it, post up a chair under this. All that shade you ever wanted, the tree provides. The tree. I'm like, it's a tree. Of course it provides shade.
The tree provides.
That's what it does by nature.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to put your stupid little tiny little parasol underneath it in order to get...
They nail condoms to the tree.
They don't say if they're used or not.
Defeating the purpose of a condom.
They're not going to use condoms anyways.
I need a condom. Rip it off. It's got a huge hole in it.
Exactly.
Like you rip it off so quickly, it rips down the middle.
Oh, I got the top half. That's all I need. God.
Feel like I'm not even wearing anything. Well, you're not.
Just the amount of diseases floating around, sexually transmitted, floating around that place.
Yep.
It's like, God. I can't imagine. Like, no, I'm clean. It's like, not anymore.
I didn't believe you were before you got here, like you said.
Yeah.
But there's so much that goes on. We had mentioned how they flower bomb people, or what is Fago bomb? Like
flower bomb and Fago bomb.
Yes, exactly. Both. It's but the thing is, they throw like full 2 liters at people and like cans of beer at people. Like, oh, you. It's like, oh, you rascals.
It's like, it's fine. We're family. It's okay. That's fine. They mean well. It's like, they're assaulting you. They're throwing hard, heavy, full things at you. Like, and also a flower bomb. Again, that is definitely something like a grade schooler would come up with.
Yes.
It's just like, what are you going to throw? I don't know. Flower? That'd be funny, ooh, right?
Do you watch Home Alone? Flower. Well, and like, when they did that, I was like, those people are going to be... just have flour on them the whole weekend,
mm-hmm,
because I don't,
oh, yeah,
they at least showed porta potties for like, okay, people can go to the bathroom, but are people even able to well, I guess not, because I don't think many of these people shower anyway, so it's like, why would we need that? They'd probably be like, what the heck is this? Is this some sort of time machine? Is this a telephone booth? How does this work? Let's go consult the tree.
Yes.
Don't turn the water on. I don't want my face paint to come off.
Exactly. Well, what's funny too is like, because also they say, you know, here you can be yourself, which is great. And they're like, you know, you run wild and free. And like Shaggy 2 Dope and Same Your Mom's House interview is like, yeah, like I get that. But also like, put some pants on, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't want you like Donald Ducking around here. Like, put a shirt on, dude. Yeah. Like, people wearing a Batman mask and like a thong. Like, yeah, like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I saw that guy.
Like, if that's yourself, then whatever. But like, show a little bit of shame. And this is coming from one of your gods.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Everybody. But everybody knows, you know, if a lot of people don't listen to their gods. So anyway. But it is one of the things where, like, I know it's easy to place Juggalos and Juggalettes, which Juggalettes are the female version of Juggalos. They also have a Miss Juggalette beauty pageant.
Yeah.
People dancing around.
Yeah.
You know, just dancing around.
They have,
fishnets.
They have naked oil wrestling.
It's not naked. It's just oil wrestling, but people get naked.
Oh, sure.
So it's not advertised as naked.
Before they started that wrestling, the announcer, I heard him in the background say, "We know you're all horny." And I was like, oh, God. What is happening?
Just how in Shaggy 2 Dope's name, can you trust all of these people to behave themselves? What in the name of Violent J Christ is going on?
VJC.
But I know it's easy to shit on these people, I won't say these people, you know, who Juggalos and Juggalettes,
yeah,
because you think a certain thing about them, but. Again, like we've said a couple times during this, and we don't want to just add to the piling on, because
yeah,
it is kind of elitist and classist,
yeah,
for people from like Vice to write,
yeah,
articles like, you know, crapping on these,
yeah,
people because they crap on themselves.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
The porta potties are full.
But I'm sorry. But yeah, we don't want to kind of add to,
no,
that. We don't want to pile on, because that's not who the three of us are. And
no,
we know a lot of our listeners, that's who, you know, you're not the type of people either. And
yeah,
like you want to, the biggest thing I got out of this documentary, and I'm glad, you know, they all four podcasters seemed genuine. You know, they,
mm-hmm,
they jumped right in. They're like, we don't want to look like tourists. We want to look like we belong there. So they jumped right in. Everybody they were interviewing, sure, rough around the edges, were respectful of their time, because they saw that,
yeah,
these guys were respectful to them. I'm sure there's a,
yeah,
certain level of, like, you know, hesitancy,
of course,
with outsiders, quote unquote, because you don't know or someone with a camera, you don't know,
yeah,
if they're going to be there to dump on you.
Yeah.
And there, it is a place of belonging, and they all, and a lot of the people they were talking to, some of them I was like, you know, I would have been friends with this person in middle school or high school. I'd be friends with them now, but they seem,
yeah,
like somebody like I would have known and been cool with in like high school. So like, and maybe that's, and that's just a testament to like us, because we're all three like easy to get,
sure,
along with. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I know, of course, you know, a lot of what we do on here is riff on people. You know, it's an odd documentary, or
yeah,
it's a documentary about, you know, some kind of odd people, and, you know, that kind of lends itself to riffing. But at the end of the day, I want to be respectful because these are people, they find a place to where they feel belonging because the outside world doesn't accept them for one reason or another. Not it, like without their makeup. If they're not wearing a Hatchet Man shirt, there's a deeper thing that is like, for whatever reason, they don't feel like society accepts them, and they may feel like I'm a good person, like, you know, the person over here working over here, and they get treated with more respect than I do.
Yeah,
why?
Yeah, yeah. And the like I said before, the presentation isn't necessarily appealing to a lot of people, but at the core of it, of Juggalos and Juggalettes and Insane Clown Posse's music, maybe more so in different areas, the prevailing message at its core is it's a place of belonging. It's a place where you feel, where we kind of bring you in and you can feel comfortable and you know you have the support of other people. So in times of doubt and struggle, you know you can reach out to one of your Juggalo brothers or sisters. So at the core of it, it's a message that everyone like can ascribe to. It's just the way that they
the way it's presented spread
it
now.
It's very kind of silly at points.
I think it's just so crazy because this is, you know, this is the Juggalo's time to let it all loose. Like they during the interviews, it's just like, oh, what do you do outside of this? It's like, oh, I work construction. And it's like, oh, I'm going to school for like design.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So this is like their Comic-Con because people don't come into work in cosplay. So it's like, this is their space to just go and just be crazy and let it out and do all the stuff that they want to do. Like most of them aren't bringing their children. They're hopefully playing it, you know, somewhat safe.
Yeah.
Like, cause they've got a life to go back to. This, it's not just like, this is life, man. It's like, this is our outlet right now.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense, I guess, in that aspect of, as to why they just go so crazy. It's a vacation for them.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, Matt, the delivery is not so appealing. Not for me. but sure. Like, I think, you know, if this is how you want to express yourself and like hang out with people, you know, your friend group, like, or your family, that should be absolutely allowed. Just be safe. Don't OD.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Comic-Con comparison because there are obvious differences between the two, but the core intention is the same. Is it's somewhere you're allowed those things that you may that you might be judged for in quote unquote the outside world. You can come to where a bunch of people like a lot of the same things you do and have no problem dressing up, you know, have no problem, you know, talking about the things that you'd probably get, you know, a sideways glance from someone about. Now, with the Marvel movies and stuff and with a lot of other things that are in Comic-Con, it's a lot more mainstream. But the prevailing message is the same.
Also, we've gone this far and not said why it's called Whoop Dreams. I don't think we mentioned why. The Juggalos have a chant.
Whoop whoop.
It's a whoop whoop, and like it's done a lot.
That's the sound of the police.
Whoop whoop. But it's you know when you're at you, that's how you could, it's like a call to your other jug. You know, sometimes if you see somebody at Walmart, you know,
animals in the wild,
you side eye and you're like, hey, whoop whoop. And they're like, down with the clown, Hatchet Man, baby. Like, whoop, whoop.
I've got a cart full of Faygo. What do you think?
Exactly.
It's a drop in the bucket.
We don't really need to be secretive.
But a
cart full of Faygo.
But it's their chant. It's kind of their rallying cry.
Their war cry.
Yes.
And family. Family.
Family. Family. Family.
This movie, this documentary was not that different from a Fast and Furious movie.
Exactly. Like
fast cars, police sirens, whoop whoop, and family, of course, and sick beats.
Chills and thrills.
I mean, it's
exciting action.
It's a family movie.
Exactly.
But I'd say
we are family.
family.
Yeah, why don't
pouring
they...
Faygo on each other.
That guy just drinking that 2-liter Faygo. Damn, that stuff is viscous.
Oh, it's like syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
You can pour it on pancakes.
I will say, Faygo is delicious.
It is.
It really is.
I haven't had enough to judge. I don't know. I think I've had it maybe twice
in my life. If you're ever curious about all the flavors of Faygo, if you listen to the song Juggalo Juice, the opening narration is saying all of the flavors of Faygo, and then all of the places,
sour green apple,
all the places you can drink Faygo off of, and what body parts taste like what flavor of Faygo and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Like it's like my nutsack tastes like grape or something like that.
But the toes taste like pineapple.
Drinking sour apple off her titties, like it's stuff like that.
My tongue tastes like blue.
My tongue tastes like blue.
But Faygo, they have something right there. Faygo's delicious. Mm-hmm. And it's cheap. And it's in and there's copious amounts of it at the Mini Mart right up the street from my apartment complex.
Also, the Juggalo mascot is a hatchet man. So it's like, again, with the violent imagery. Yeah. And you expect these people to not take the violence to heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's also not holding a hatchet. He's holding a meat cleaver. Not to get all, you know, deep into it here. That's just, you know, I found an inconsistency I had to point it out.
Jake knows a lot about his edged weapons.
Yeah.
Cutlery in the kitchen. I don't use it outside of my kitchen.
Yes. I'd say the coolest part, like, or one of the coolest parts, was they were showing, like, some of the, like, because it's also music. It's, like, it's primarily, it's, I think a lot of people call it, like, a music festival. Because, like, they showed, like, the, I think there's music, there's, like a Lollapalooza. There's music every day you're there.
Yeah.
Also stuff going on. So I think you talked about earlier, you know, what do you do in between this here, that?
Yeah.
I feel like there are, like, side stages.
Yeah, also
like
one of the brightly colored hair gal was like, she's like, originally I wasn't gonna come because the lineup looked really lame, but then my friends were like, no, you gotta come. So then I'm like, oh, there's probably like at a music festival there's a lineup each day. The documentary didn't show enough of that.
And like, of course, the main stagers are the Insane Clown Posse, but one of them was Vanilla Ice. And like,
I was gonna say, was that actually Vanilla Ice?
Yeah,
like,
actually
I didn't know
Vanilla.
If that was like, hey, it's, you know, Vanilla Iceman, man, Vanilla Iceman.
Like, exactly.
Brant's best Vanilla Ice impersonator.
Ned Ninja Rap.
He did Ninja Rap. And I was like, shit, Ninja Rap.
He's like, I can't believe you people remember that shit.
It's like, I mean, he also doesn't have a whole lot to fill out a set. So like,
he did Ninja Rap. He did Ice Baby.
I played Ice Ice Baby and Ninja Rap. Do you guys want to watch this movie I made?
It's cool as ice.
It's a girl who drives horses.
Cool as ice.
One of these days, we'll find a copy of that movie that isn't region specific.
Yeah.
But
it's on Disney Plus.
Oh, you don't say.
I do say.
Now, where you can find this is on Vimeo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not on any streaming services.
It's on Amazon Prime, but you get the message that says this is currently unavailable, like, in your area.
I saw that. I was like, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got the fuzz hot on their tail.
I have to download a VPN to watch this.
But essentially, like, drawing to a close here, talking about Whoop Dreams and just talking about the culture of Juggalos and Juggalettes in general, because I feel like we hit all across the board on that. Because you can't thoroughly talk about something that showcases the gathering of the Juggalos without talking about mainly Juggalos and Juggalettes and their perception, at least from three, I would say, relatively uneducated.
Juffalos,
yes.
What is a Juffalo?
Those are posers who say that they're down with the clown, but they don't know the whole track list of whatever.
They fumble
the
hatchet.
Yeah, exactly. If you try to throw at them, they wouldn't catch it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, as we come to a close here, one thing I do take from this, and I think we've already talked about it as we've done the episode, blood family is important, but homies are family too. Sometimes more than some of your relatives that you share a name with, especially your homies who taught you how to use the bong and how to put your grass in it.
Is that a lyric, or did you come up with that?
Yeah, no, it's a lyric.
I thought you're so inspired.
Yes, very much.
Had to do my poetry.
That's how we're going to end every show now, instead of be good to yourselves, be good to each other.
Find those who hope you show you how to use your bong and put your grass in it.
Put your grass in it. Yeah, I think this was a very enlightening documentary. I was watching it downstairs and I was just getting a little sick to my stomach because just like imagining being there at that festival. And then I come upstairs, I was just like, oh God, I'm glad I didn't ask Haley to watch this with me. And I come upstairs and my wife is watching a documentary about Woodstock 99.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
It was like, okay, Gathering of the Juggalos, a little safer than this.
Yes, I've been... I almost brought up Woodstock 99, but didn't think had seen the documentary.
There were a couple times... Yeah. I haven't seen the documentary, but of course I'm very familiar with Woodstock 99.
It's one of the... it's a horror movie.
Yeah, it was one of those things where...
It's awful. It looked so bad.
Yeah, awful. Yeah.
And I know over the past couple weeks, we've kind of had name drops of Limp Bizkit. Like, Limp Bizkit... They didn't incite a riot, but they didn't help at all.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things to where, yeah, as we were talking about certain things about like how like women's safety at the gathering.
Oh, it was several times.
Even as I was watching it, and even as we were talking, I was like, oh, make a note that like it's safer than like Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
That's so funny you brought that up, and that's so funny that Haley like was watching something that was, you know, an event that was probably more reprehensible than like the gathering.
Because I was like, yeah, I'm glad that Haley didn't watch this with me. She probably wouldn't like it. There's, you know, a bunch of like, you know, people being crazy and a bunch of nudity and this and that. I come upstairs and I'm like, oh, you're watching something where women are very unsafe. They light the whole place on fire and there's rioting.
Oh yeah.
Okay, this is church camp now.
Yeah.
The Gathering of the Juggalos is Christian camp.
Yeah, there are entire interviews of women like talking about how poorly they were treated and how terrible their experience was and how like violated they were and stuff like that. And it's just awful. It's a good documentary. It's fascinating.
Oh yeah.
But it's also
tragic.
What's
like I'd rather drink a 2 liter of Faygo to hydrate myself than shit water.
Yeah, exactly. It also, I was getting a lot of Sturgis motorcycle rally vibes.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just Sturgis without all the motorcycles, essentially, too. Women, men walking around with their old ladies' titties hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, there's no burnout pit. So, none of that. Like, all this street food and, like,
maybe next year.
The vulgarities. Yeah, maybe next year.
Well, their burnout pit's just a bunch of them standing together.
Yeah, it's just
a bunch of burnouts.
High. Yeah, getting high. Smoking a blunt.
Yeah.
Under the tree.
Under the tree.
Yes.
Under the sacred tree.
You'll find wisdom. Juggalo wisdom. Take it from me.
Yeah, exactly.
But all in all, yeah, it's a solid 45 minutes. You get a little bit of a taste. There are several other things. Like, I think Vice has had showcasing the Juggalos. I don't know what perspective they take. Again, I feel like it's maybe like turning their nose up at it just to show like the same way you'd... I just remembered something. You were talking about how like you're at a place at the gathering where you're in trouble and like Juggalos pull you out, which is funny. I was like, much like if you're in a fire at a circus, you know, the performers will pull you out. The quote unquote freaks will pull you out. Here, hold on to my beard. I'll pull you up. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am. But, That's the last little shit on a Juggalo.
Yeah.
I'm to any of you listening that you are Juggalos, hopefully you made it this far to where you can hear me say this. I apologize if you were offended by anything we said or you felt like you were slighted in any way. I really do feel like it's great you found a sense of purpose.
Stephen Webster
this music.
Be Juggalo family. That's the court case.
Well, at least they're dressed up.
Don't.
da, 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 da. Oh, man. I'd say on that note.
It's just a dude in a suit standing very stoically, but he's still got face paint on.
They make the lawyer, their lawyer is just someone that they were assigned, and they'd make him wear face paint.
They all have a, like, normally they have a pitcher of water. It's like, what is this shit? Can I get some candy apple in this bitch, please?
the gavel.
Grab as much as you can.
The gavel is a hatchet. The jury of my peers are just more juggalos, and I'm like, I feel like I'm going to lose.
None of them can be in the jury. They're all family. They don't know the defendant.
It's a conflict of interest. That's, yeah. That's true. I may win. Anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen. Jake, as always, whether it was your first guest appearance or whenever we did PGP or your 10th appearance as a podcast guest, it's always a pleasure. Yep. It's always a great time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, agreed. This was a blast. Hopefully you all enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed making it. Find your Juggalo family out there. Make sure you hold them tight tonight. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude? We'd be rad. See you next time.
Whoop, whoop.
This concludes our broadcast day.